Acquisition number 12718, Reel 1.
Mr. Hughes, Reel 1. Whereabouts were you born, please?
I was born in Reel.
Which year was that?
In 1920. Yes, 10th of the 10th, 1920.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was a fisherman and a coxswain of the lifeboat and also a pilot of Reel for the sailing ships that used to come into Reel Harbour with timber.
Did you go to school in Reel?
Yes.
How old were you when you left?
I was just 14 when I left school.
Did you get a job?
Yes, I worked for Pullers of Perth, who were cleaning and dyers, and I was an errand boy for them, like, when I left school.
How did you come to be in the Navy?
Well, my father was a fisherman, you see, and we used to go salmon fishing and trawling, and we had pleasure boats in the summer on the beach. Used to take people out to sea for trips out to sea and back again, and we did a lot of salmon fishing in the mouth of the river, that's right at low water when the tide was right out. We used to fish down there for salmon, the salmon license, you see. My father is this gentleman up there.
You wrote a photograph in.
Yes, and my grandfather was a fisherman also. And seven of my father's brothers were all lifeboatmen. So when it was a rowing and sailing lifeboat.
So that made you want to go into the Royal Navy?
Yes.
When did you do that?
I did that in 1941. Early 1941. I spent my 21st birthday on the Trinidad.
How did you go about joining up?
Well, I had papers to say that I had to fill in, and then they sent it, and then I got my calling up papers then.
But once you were called up, you asked to go in the Royal Navy?
I asked to go into the Royal Navy, yes.
Was it easy to get?
Oh, yes, it was, being as a fisherman, inshore fisherman.
Whereabouts were you trained?
I was trained in Raleigh, Tor Point.
What did you
came
think
out of Raleigh, then into Drake, which was the main barracks in Devonport.
What did you think of the training that you got?
I did my training all right. I did very well in my training. And I was very interested in sea work, like, because being an old fishing family, you see.
Which ship did you join first of all?
Trinidad.
Where and when did you join her?
I joined her in 41.
Do you remember the month?
It was round November, round November time.
Whereabouts did you join her?
At Devonport Dockyard.
And in what capacity did you serve?
As an ordinary seaman, to start with.
What kind of a ship was she to live in?
Well, she was a fine ship, but the places that we was going to, that we found out after we'd gone to sea, was Northern Russian convoys, Iceland.
Was that your first trip?
Yes.
Can you describe the first trip in detail?
Well, we did a running up to get into a fighting force off the west coast of Ireland. And then we went up to Scapa Flow. And then from Scapa Flow, then we joined the fleet, which was the 10th Cruiser Squadron. There was Kenya, Gambia, Jamaica, Bermuda, and all them were all the same class, which was that class, colony class cruiser.
Can you describe the voyage?
Well, we went through some very rough deep depressions off Iceland, and we put into one of the fjords in Iceland, and we dropped anchor, but we couldn't cut the bottom. There was that much chain that had gone out with the anchor that we couldn't winch it back, and we tried winching it by hand with staves in the winch, and it wouldn't take it. We couldn't move it, so they had to slip it. So they slipped the anchor.
Were you doing that yourself?
Well, I was part of the turntable crew.
So it was so deep there?
Yes, it was very, very deep. Is it a Valdes Fjord or something?
Valfjord. What else do you remember about the voyage?
We came out of there then, and Captain Saunders, that was the captain of the Trinidad, said to all hands that we was on to patrol for a while, and then to pick up a convoy when the convoy arrived, and proceed with the convoy to Northern Russia.
Was this midwinter?
Yes.
Then what happened?
I can give you a little idea of some of the. Well, this was on the Belfast, but that was the kind of thing that we had to control.
You're showing me a photograph of the Belfast covered with ice.
Yes.
On its superstructure.
Yes. And we was the same. And A turret was that frozen up, we couldn't elevate or depress the guns, and we couldn't
traverse
until we chipped all the ice off.
Where was your action station?
My action station was inside the turret sight setter.
What did that involve?
It involved two dials, two big dials, that was coming from the TS, the transmission station, to the guns, and we'd lay it on for the guns to be trained and elevated to the position that they said.
How many were in your team in A turret?
In A turret, there was only three of us. Three right in was the gun layer, the trainer, and the sight setter. That was the only three. All the rest was behind us on the main guns.
Who was in charge amongst the three?
The gun layer.
What rank did he have?
He was a petty officer.
Can you remember his name?
Pratt.
What was he like to serve under?
He was very good. He was very good. We had a good liaison with one another. And of course, when we was chasing the German destroyers, three German destroyers, Z-25, 26, I think it was, that we started to chase them. We damaged one with the Fury, we damaged one, she was on fire, as far as I could make out. By information after we got into Murmansk.
So but what this was
the only thing that I wouldn't dispute it, but I thought it very irregular, could have happened, being a torpedo man, that the torpedo we fired to sink this German destroyer went wild and did a U-turn as we were proceeding. We were chasing up, and as we were chasing up, we fired the torpedoes to try and stop it. And what had happened was that they said the torpedo, two tubes were stuck with ice. The third one went off, but then it did a complete U-turn and hit us right in the transmission station.
When was this?
On the way up.
On this first voyage?
Yes, on this first voyage.
But you said your action station was an air turret.
Yes.
How did you come to be on the torpedoes?
Well, it was after we'd been in my manse that I got onto the torpedoes.
So it was on the return voyage?
Yes, on the return voyage.
Let's talk about the voyage going out, first of all. You talked about the ice on the superstructure.
Yes.
Was it any part of your duties to try to get rid of the ice?
Well, not at action station. We couldn't, because it was all closed up. It was the shipwrights had to go out and chip the ice off. But when we got up to my man's, we chipped all the ice off it then.
So on the voyage out, you were escorting a convoy to Russia. Do you know the name of the convoy?
PQ-8.
Was it a big convoy?
To tell you the truth, I don't know how many ships was completely involved. I think it was about 14 ships, I think. 12 or 14. But we lost some in the depression north of Iceland, between there and Bear Island, and they dispersed because the weather was that bad, and we went into snowstorms, and we lost quite a few ships. They dispersed, you see, and we didn't know where they were.
By lost, you mean sunk?
Yeah, well, some of them had been sunk and some are dispersed to go on their own route. We had to try and keep up with the main convoy, the fastest ships that could go the quickest.
Were they lost to enemy action or to the weather?
Oh, it was enemy action, submarines. There were submarines waiting for us there. There was Heinkel torpedo bombers, the Ju-88s from Bear Island. There was 101s, but the torpedo bombers were our biggest worry, because of they flew so low that the depression of our main guns, because they were an anti-aircraft gun as well as a low missile gun, you see. And we couldn't depress them low enough for the torpedo bombers to stop them.
After how many days did the German attack start on the convoy PQ-8?
From Jan Mayen Island through Bear Island, right the way around to the Bering Sea.
Were they going for any of the escorts or just for the merchant?
Escorts and the merchant ships. There was a lot of Liberty ships at the time that had just come from America with aircraft and tanks and guns, and we were escorting them up.
Which month was this?
This was in December.
December 41?
Yes.
Could you see anything of the enemy attacks from your gun turret?
No. I was absolutely pinned down to keep the sights as the TS was moving the indicators, so I had to follow the indicators. So I couldn't see nothing. It was only the gun layer, and then he had two hatches that you could open for local gunnery, independent gunnery. But they were frozen up, you see, we were all closed up. There was no chance.
What could you hear?
Blasting, explosions. I heard some time after that was the Matabele that had gone. And we limped. That's a picture that was taken by one of the escorts of us coming into Kolar Inlet. And that was the damage that we had. We were right below the bridge in the TS. And there was 32 men was drowned in oil fuel in the TS because the tanks were either side, as far as I could make out. And we had to carry them ashore.
How frightening were the enemy attacks on PQ-8?
On PQ-8, we was only 14 miles from the front. From the Finnish front. At Kola. It was only about 40 miles to the front. And there was nothing but dive bombing and bombing all the time we was there. We had to take all the meat out of the fridges because they were full of oil fuel. And we had to unload it onto the dockside in dry dock. And there was a Russian woman there where were putting big balks of timber to keep the ship upright in dry dock. And then there were Edinburgh had gone to Rosyth to pick up plates to bring up with the next convoy to Murmansk to bring plates to put on our ship's side. And the Russian women welded the plates as best they could with the structures and prepared us then for coming out of dry dock.
How much
in the meantime, the Edinburgh was sailing back with the QP convoy and with the Russian gold on board. She went right up into the Barents Sea. And she got sunk. The survivors that came off the Edinburgh was brought back by the Matchless, the Fury, the Foresight, and the Forester. And they brought them back to Murmansk. We prepared to go back to sea with the convoy. And we went out the same way, out of Kolar Inlet, to go to sea. And within less than 100 miles, we were sunk.
How long were you in Russia?
We was in Russia for, about 3 months. Because we got sunk in May, the 15th of May, Ascension Day.
When PQ-8 was going into Russia, did the Russians come out to give you any help?
Yes. Oh, yes, they did help us. But there were very, very... It was mostly women. There were very, very few men about.
But did they send any ships and airplanes to escort the convoy in?
Yes, they did. The Russians did send some aircraft to escort us in to try and keep off the torpedo bombers and these Heinkel dive bombers.
How much damage was done to the Trinidad?
It was the TS, the two mastheads. It was right below the bridge, as you can see in that picture there. The damage that we had was right in line with the funnel.
Who took the photograph of the Trinidad?
A friend of mine that was on a merchant ship.
In PQ8?
In PQ8. As we limped in to come into the Kohler Inlet itself, he took the photograph of it.
Did he give a lot of people that photograph?
Well, as far as I know, he's dead now. But he gave it to me.
Just to you?
Yes. It was only a small, very, very small one. And I had it enlarged.
To put on your wall?
To put on my wall.
Were there many casualties?
There was 32 in the TS that was around. Apart from damage control. Damage control had been damaged as well. And there were several men in damage control had been killed.
Was it a terrifying experience for you, personally, in the convoy? PQA?
Well, it's so long ago, I can't remember, to tell you the truth, whether I was scared or not. But I'm not one to be scared easily. For the simple reason that... when we got torpedoed and we had to do all this work in preparing the ship in dry dock for able to come back, that what can I say now?
You were saying why you weren't scared.
Why I wasn't scared, for the simple reason I'd got over the fear of it. I'd been, when I was a young lad with my father, salmon fishing. I used to be up to my neck in seawater, pulling nets out, salmon nets, across the banks into the sea, so I was quite used to water. The only thing I remember clearly was when the Trinidad was going down, I was in A turret then in the action station, coming back, and she was starting to list. B turret had been blown. There was a bomb had been dropped through B turret, and she blew up and was on fire. There was a Royal Marines turret, B turret was, and there was bodies and bits of bodies scattered all over the place. Out of the turret.
We'll come on more to the actual torpedoing of the ship in a minute, but if I can ask you about your 3 months in Murmansk, in the Kohler Inlet.
Yes.
What were you personally doing during that 3 months?
That 3 months was, I was doing a little bit of everything really, whatever was made necessary. Helping breakdown crew, the repair crew, carrying timbers and girders and ironwork to shore up the damage that had been done.
Were you in the Kohler Inlet or in?
In Kohler Inlet itself, in dry dock.
How much were you able to mix with the Russians?
Very little.
Why not?
Well, there was only Russian women there. Majority of them, and we was only allowed to carry all this frozen meat that had been covered in oil fuel to carry to shore to burn it. But the thing was that the Russians were pinching it as fast as it was carrying it to shore. They didn't care about oil fuel
because they were so hungry.
They were so hungry. They were starving. And we was on short rations because all our fresh food and fresh meat and all that, frozen meat, was no good. So we had to go on to hard rations.
What did that consist of?
Corned beef and biscuits.
Did you manage to stay healthy?
And cocoa. Plenty of chocolate.
Did you manage to stay healthy?
Oh, yes.
Did you fall sick?
No, I never felt sick.
carrying the meat?
We had to carry some of the meat up from the upper deck, from the deckhead ashore, and pile it on the shore.
But this was the Trinidad's own stores?
Yes, our own stores.
How cold was it there?
Well, as far as I can gather, there was all snow and ice everywhere, and they reckon it was about 40 below zero.
Did you suffer much from the cold?
No. We had, for going ashore, for going outside onto the upper deck, we had what they call a goon suit. That was this, like a capoc overall that covered you from your neck to your feet. We had sealskin boots, sealskin gloves, and a sealskin cap that was partly given from the Russians to keep us warm. But the rest of the time we was in the mess decks. Apart from working parties, you see, you had your watch to do, and then you had your resting time for sleep.
Did anybody get frostbite?
There's a lot got frostbite, yes.
How did that happen?
Well, the gloves got wet and they froze, but you didn't feel it.
Did you get frostbite?
No, I never got frostbite. But I've suffered with arthritis.
Is that as a consequence?
Well, partly, I suppose, and partly now because of my age.
Was there any entertainment for you in those 3 months ashore?
Well, there was a party went ashore to Murmansk, to the hotel in Murmansk. I don't know whether it was a cinema party or what, I couldn't say. I don't remember seeing anything myself.
So you didn't cast me?
I was only a boy.
21?
Yeah.
So was it boring for you there?
No, it wasn't boring because you had no time to be bored. You either slept or you worked.
So they were working you very hard?
Oh, we had to work hard to prepare the ship to try and get her ready so that we could come back.
Was the German Air Force bombing Coleraine?
They were bombing Coleraine constantly.
Did they have
and the shelling from the front.
Did they have any success against installations and ships there?
Oh yes, places were blown up all the while. We was very, very lucky that we didn't get bombed when we was in dry dock. Actually hit.
So you never moved very far from the ship during those 3 months?
Well, we weren't allowed to.
So once the ship had been repaired, you then set off. Did you set off
we
by...
We prepared. In the meantime, as I say, the Edinburgh had came up with the plates, and then...